Well, praise God. Where do you go from here? I want to read you something just before we get into God. Well, Father, we just once again thank you for your presence here today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you've done. And we magnify your name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, I don't know how I can cover the ground I'm going to try, because it's all really together between Hebrews, the third chapter, and also Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Why don't I just read from the 10th chapter? I'm going to conclude there anyway, and then we'll go back to the third chapter. We're talking about how to keep a tender heart. How to keep a tender heart. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, after that you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Dick Mills, prophet of God, who went home with the Lord just a few months ago, he was in his 80s, I know at least mid-80s. Dick was with us on a number of occasions, and he was with us in 05, and he gave this prophetic word to Joy and I from the Word of God, Deuteronomy 33:25. As your days, so shall your strength be. The word strength is the Hebrew word meus, which means resources to help you cope with any demands that are put on you. Whatever financial demands are put on you, the Lord will give you the financial resources. Whatever physical demands are put on you, He will give you the physical resources. And whatever spiritual demands are put on you, He will give you the spiritual resources. You're not going to have emotional fatigue. You're going to have emotional equilibrium. You're not going to have mental fatigue. You're going to have mental accuracy. I believe I pronounced that correctly. As your days, so shall your resources be, which means you are more than capable for anything that comes up. And he concludes with Psalm 68:28. He said, it just says the Lord is going to command your strength. He is going to command your strength. And he repeats that a third time. God has commanded your strength. The strength of the Lord for the very things you worked for. And I want to give you Job 17:9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You're not getting weaker and weaker. You're getting stronger and stronger. And I had this upstairs where I pray and study, and it was under something, and it just happened that it just resurfaced here just a few hours ago. And I read it, and I've been rejoicing in that. Praise the Lord. I want to share from my heart today something that I think is very, very important. And we're going back to the third chapter of Hebrews. I want to give you a little foundation here. Third chapter of Hebrews, verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. I know I'm reading some scripture, but I'm laying a foundation. Read with me in your own heart there, Hebrews 3:6 now. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence. Can you say confidence? And the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, he's speaking, do we hear his voice today? Will we hear it? Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And I wrote out in the margin of my Bible, 40 years for them, 48 years for us at this point. They watched God's works. Some of you, literally for almost 48 years, and the Stumbles are some of a number in this church who have been with us for a good period of time. Israel saw it 40 years. There's people in this auditorium who have seen the works of God here for 40 years plus. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. That doesn't mean with everyone, with all people, but with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart. They've not known my ways. Isn't that something? You can receive his blessings and not know his ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, myself included, all of us, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And one verse into chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Some things that that any pastor deals with that I've dealt with, but you know, it's a perplexing thing to me how people can, the same people here today have sat under the word and they've mellowed, they've grown strong, they've come through hell and high water, they've come through times when lesser hearts would leave and bail. And yet it's possible for all of us, for me as a minister, I refuse to be calloused. I'm human, it hits me temporarily, but I think what Dr. Lester Sumrall said was so accurate. I refuse human hurt from any individual on the face of this earth because I'm a servant of the Most High God. And here's the thing, we can go to church, and as we look at what is before us, we're talking about hardness of heart. You can be attending this church, you can be sweet to Joy and I and loving to us and send us thoughtful cards and like so many, you know, just all the things that happen over a period of time and yet become gospel hardened. That if it isn't just exactly my cup of tea or my brand of whatever, we have different ministries that come through and different ministries have different way of saying and doing different things. But here's the thing. My mission today is this. I say by the faith of God that no one who consistent at this point, I can't help some things that have happened behind, but I say at this point that those that are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in this house will not become offended, nor will you take up someone else's offense. That's the bigger problem. That's the bigger problem. I heard that I heard that I heard and never had the courtesy to ask pastor if that was true or false. Never had the courtesy. Amen. But that's only one specter of it. You know, I've come to the point I hate alcohol. I hate drugs. I hate them with a passion because we've dealt with it for years. We deal, our staff, we deal with that. And we have those who have been delivered from that type of thing. But you know, gossip and strife is just as bad as alcohol. It's just as bad as drugs. It's just as bad. It's worse than heroin because most people that are doing that know that they're not doing the right thing and wish they could get free. Folks, the challenge today is to think like God thinks and to speak like God speaks and to stay on God's side of everything. Amen. We don't understand all things. You don't, I don't, we don't. But keep the main thing the main thing. Now, as you look at the third chapter of Hebrews, how do we hold fast? It talks about holding fast. Well, how do we do that? How do we keep a tender heart? First of all, and I mean, it's all right here in words, you keep a confident heart. And confidence, it's mentioned also over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it's a heart that is filled with faith. It's a faith commitment. It's an inward faith knowing that God's word is true, that I've trusted in God, and everything's going to be all right. Heart, felt, faith, confidence. That's what I'm going to say about it. So it's keeping a confident heart. You know, you can lose confidence. I've had cars that I lost confidence in. There was something there that I like to keep my, whatever I drive, even if it's old, it was always one of the best on the street. It's not how new it is, it's what shape it's in, it's maintenance. But there were cars that I lost confidence in. And one thing that I lost confidence in was an old Buick Roadmaster. I bought it. I used to buy cars worth of money. My banker said, you know, I almost thought you had a car dealer anointing on you. Because I'd always come in to get a little short loan, pick up something, you know. That's the way we kind of financed the early days of our ministry, just to keep going. Didn't make a lot of money, but made some money. But that old Roadmaster, I thought, man, this thing's okay for the city, but it will never... you know, this is not a long-distance car. It was used, had several miles on it. And my barber thought that car was the greatest thing since sliced bread. He loved it. And one day he said, what would you take for that Buick you drive? And I said, Lonnie, I said, it's got some problems. Let me back up. It was in the barber shop this happened, but it was a pastor here in the city. And... our dear brother over on Diamond Hill, you remember, that's with the Lord today. He was the one. He had to have that car. And finally I said, man, I've told you everything I know about it. He said, well, I want to drive that car to California. I said, I don't think it'll make it to California. Anyway, long story short, I sold it to him, asking him not to buy it. And he made three trips, round trips, to California and never had a moment's problem with it. But I lost my confidence. Some little something happened. I thought, the last thing I need is to get between here and California and this big Buick go down on me. And he said, that's the best car I ever had. But I lost my confidence. I lost my confidence in something someone else had confidence in, and it served them very well. Oh, folks, God does not want us to lose our confidence, because there's times it seems like there are things that we've prayed for and believed for and we've stood for and it's just not working like we want it, because God's clock and God's calendar and God's time is not always our time. And God may seem to be late, but God's always on time. And God always comes through. So we keep a confident heart. Hold fast to your confidence. We keep a rejoicing heart. That's the last thing in the world you feel like doing when you're ticked off with life. Amen? Rejoicing. And it's all right here. It's in the book. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. A rejoicing heart. You know, rejoicing... to rejoice is a choice. It may not be the best rejoicing you've ever done, but give it a go. A rejoicing heart. Another way you keep a tender heart is to keep a heart filled with hope. Hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hope. Confident expectation. That's what hope is. Confident expectation. A heart of hope. Another way you keep a tender heart is to keep a firm heart. Don't always be, you know, always going from side. We come in church this morning. Someone's driving all over the road. I guess they had a problem. We saw something like that the other night on 30. I mean, it's a miracle we didn't see an accident. Somebody, they were fighting in the car going down 30. They didn't have a firm grip on the wheel because it was going. And I mean, all of traffic was just backing off. They saw an accident that could be in the happening, you see. Stay firm. Stay firm. Stay strong. On a weekday, stay strong. Stay firm. Be firm. And the word said, unto the end. It's not just an hour or a day or a week or a month. Unto the end. Unto the end. Oh, a heart that says, I'm in this, I'm in the tank all the way. I'm going to be here. A hearing heart. Hear. It said Israel didn't really hear. Have a hearing heart. You may not understand everything you hear, but write it down, pray about it, and God will show you. So it said, harden not your hearts. Heed. A heart that heeds the word of God. A heart that does the word of God. Avoid hardness of heart. And it said, be not as your fathers. You know, I thank God for parents that were good parents. And I catch myself thinking more about Dad. I was doing something the other day and I had my tongue stuck out just like Dad did when he was doing something. I thought that's what my dad used. You know, he'd be working. He'd get all concentrated. He wasn't sticking his tongue out at people. He just, that's just something he did when he was real intense on doing something. And I think of many ways that my father has that it's amazing things that come through that you've seen years ago. Praise God. But it said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. There's nothing wrong with sticking your tongue out if you're doing it. But it said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now that'll get you in trouble. Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your fathers who could not enter into the promised land. There's some things that you can emulate from your parents, and there's some things you've got to rise above what you saw in your growing up years. They were sincere. You honor them, but there it is. Refuse to be gospel hardened. Eldred Thomas, who was the founder of 91.7, thank God for our new radio station, KDKR. God's put them there at the right place at the right time. But Eldred Thomas made a statement to me, and I went over many times to his prayer room when we were in about to lose our church because we couldn't get someone to finance it. We could make the payments, but people just wouldn't believe in that a church like ours could take First Baptist Church downtown and make a go of it. Thank God we not only made a go of it, it was paid off, and God's moved us on to other things. But Eldred Thomas made this statement. He said, you know, Pastor Bob, and this is a few years ago, in the Metroplex, we are overcome with religious information. In fact, we're over-informed. Now, I'm for Christian television, the right part of it. I thank God for it, and I'm not bashing Christian television. But if you listen to everything that everybody says, this is the way, this is the only way to do it, this is my revelation. Well, I appreciate you having a revelation, but don't put that on me. If it's not the Word of God, thank you, I'll do what God leads me to do. And you know, we get this either-or thing going, you know, that everything's got to be a certain way or whatever. But Eldred Thomas made a statement that I thought, he said, you know, we are overexposed. The church in this greater metroplex area, we are overexposed to too much information. And so we got information coming in from Nevada and California and Mexico and I mean, we're hearing what Apostle so-and-so is doing somewhere, and we get off on that, and we get somebody else off on that. Well, maybe that's right, but maybe it's not. There's one thing that I've said, and I hope you understand my heart. Calvary Cathedral International has been a safe harbor for 48 years. And we're in balance, but I want to be in radical balance. It's not all, it's prayer, but it's not all that. It's repentance, but it's not all that. It's faith, but you got to put works with faith. It's all of it. And when you lose sight of that, then you get off the track. Amen. And I was just thinking, a hard heart, you know, and here's what we need to watch out too. You know, when it comes to music, it's got to be exactly this, or we've missed the whole thing. Coming to church is all about meeting God and worshiping God. And everybody's music is not going to be the cup of tea of everybody else's. It just can't be. There's too many ways, and you have a right to what turns you on. But hey, let's all be tolerant. Let's love God, and let's be in a safe harbor where we can get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. It's not all just about music, and we're a little dangerously close to that in this era. If it's not the right kind of music, why throw it out the window? I don't want to hear it. Don't even want to show up if it's not my kind of music. That's not in the notes, but I really feel prompted of God to say it. But God does not want us to be hard. We become caustic. We used to come to church to meet God. But now we can come to church, we can pass notes, we can text, we can go to sleep, we can do whatever. I'm here to worship God this morning, and I know right now I'm preaching the Word of God. But on the way to church, God said, "Why are you going to church?" I said, "Lord, I'm going to church to exalt you. Not just because I'm the pastor of Calvary Cathedral International. I'm going to exalt you, Lord." And right there, I just pushed my panic praise and worship button and began to praise the Lord. Instead of just making it to church, I began to praise Him on the way to church. Glorify God on the way to church. But you know, we have to be careful. I mean, things are so exacting nowadays. You ought to try pastoring. You ought to try pastoring. Amen. Amen. You ought to try pastoring sometime. All the streams, all the ideas, all the this, all the magazines, all the latest buzz, all this. Whatever happened to Jesus? Whatever happened to glorifying God? Whatever happened to exalting Him? Magnifying His name? Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Be not as your fathers who for 40 years tempted me. They proved me. They saw my works. You mean people can tempt God? Yeah, people can tempt God. They proved me. Well, if there's ever been a church that's proved God, it's been this church. By the way, we haven't forgotten about the roof. I can't make it happen. It's going to happen. You mark my word, it will happen. God gave us a good start. We're about halfway there. And it will come to pass. But I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown about it in the meantime. I'm not going to lose sleep at night about it in the meantime. Amen. I just believe God's going to bring another wave of giving and even sacrificial giving. It may be someone's final tithe on their estate. Who knows how God's going to do it? But the new roof will manifest. It will come. And I'd be happy to start on it tomorrow, but we're not going to go to the bank and borrow the money. Amen. But it will come to pass. Praise God. They tempted God. They proved God. They saw my works. They saw my works. Are we caustic? Are we critical? Are we gospel hardened? I remember a missionary by the name of Mason. His last name was Brother Mason. He flew a DC-3 when missionaries weren't flying those kind of planes. He was a pilot, kind of like a Kenneth Copeland type of a person who had been a pilot. And Speed of the Light bought him a DC-3, and he flew all over the Orient many years ago. But he had a son, unfortunately. Sometimes all of our children don't have the same fervency or commitment to God we do. And his boy, unfortunately, was on drugs when hardly anybody was on drugs. He would come to Hemp Hill Heights and sit through a service. And he said, I'd give anything to feel God again. I've resisted God for so long. He was very rebellious. He had run from God and he was mixed up with heroin. But he'd come to church every once in a while. I've seen that whole church on their face before God, crying out to God to deliver that boy. But I don't know if it ever happened or not. He said, I was around it so long, but I resisted it so long that I'm hard. I can't cry. Nothing touches. I've seen him come with strong evangelists, and I've seen him even go far, but nothing happened. And you'd have to be around. I've never met an individual like that. I haven't thought about him in a long time until I was thinking about this message today. You know, it's possible to become gospel-hardened. It's possible to become gospel-hardened. Oh, well, we've sung that. Oh, I've heard that preached. Oh, we've heard. You know, if you stay around a church, there are certain themes and certain stories that you'll hear time after time after time after time. And every time you hear it, if your heart's open, you're going to learn something. None of us have the ability to wring everything out of any given portion of God's word for eternity. I'm talking about a tender heart. I remember one night I'd been doing some things as a young man I shouldn't be doing. They weren't the worst, but I knew. I remember that night an altar call was given, kind of like we give, not necessarily for salvation, but to get right with God. I was in the car with our families. We drove home. I couldn't go to sleep that night. We lived several blocks from the church. I didn't want to go out the door because the door creaked. But I went out the window of my bedroom, got on my bicycle, rode up to the church. I knew a window that wouldn't lock. I knew that old building, I knew every square inch of it. Church was a very important part of my life growing up, not something that I was occasionally exposed to. Crawled in through that window, went in the auditorium and just got on my face before God and said, God, forgive me, and had a prayer meeting. Went home. Boy, I felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulder. What can we say? What can we do? What can we engage in and not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Can God deal with us? You know, God didn't say, the old story that you've heard for years, you've been around ministry, about the stagecoach driver driving through the mountain pass, and they wanted the best stagecoach driver possible. And he told them, he said, I'm your man. I'm a great stagecoach driver. I can drive closer to the edge than anybody. They didn't hire him. They didn't want someone who was so good he could stay on the edge. They wanted someone to protect the passengers and that stagecoach. They wanted that. And, of course, I trust that was, if it wasn't true, it probably was true somewhere along the line, because there's always someone that prides themselves on that type of thing. But, you know, I think of so many times. I remember one day I was in school and I thought, I don't know what came over me. I thought the Lord had come back. There were some strange circumstances that day, storms and all that. Man, I couldn't wait to get home to be sure Mama was there. And when I saw Mama, I knew Jesus hadn't come back. I knew I was safe for a while. Said, are you weird? No, I had a tender heart. And then I went through a period of time for a couple of years when I did some things that I shouldn't have done. And it was God that turned my life around between my junior and my senior year in high school. And thank God, I never will forget going to a church on a Sunday morning. I had not been able to cry. I just made a faith commitment to God. And I'll never forget on Vickery Street over there, and I won't go into the, I could take you to the location if that building still arranged like it was, where I knelt before God and I said, God, I'm not leaving this time of prayer. You've got to touch me. You've got to, and I tell you, it's just like a fountain exploded inside of me, and I wept before God and wept. Oh, there's a cleansing to weeping before God. There's a cleansing of tears, of godly repentance and crying out to God. Man, I left that church and my life's never been the same since then. Folks, God wants us to keep tender hearts. I know there's some people that are oversensitive, and you know, this, we went through an era where everybody thought they'd committed the unpardonable sin. Most people think they do haven't. But I'm just talking to you about the way that you don't have a hard heart. If you come to church, I want you to have a confident heart. I want you to have a rejoicing heart. I want you to have a heart of hope. I want you to have a heart that's firm to the end. A heart that hears the word of God. A heart that hardens not. A heart that heeds the word of God. You know, Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus, he said, I know you. I know your works. Know things about you. And God said, repent, 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 renew, and redo. Turn around. Repent. There's times when every child of God needs to repent. Amen. And then to turn around and redo. Refuse to be gospel hardened. Refuse to be caustic. Refuse to be critical. I meant to bring it to the pulpit, but some of you heard the miracle of my cell phone. Phone's much smarter than I am. Frustrating. But anyway, I inadvertently left it on a table at a cafeteria. I've been very careful, and I got home and I couldn't find it and called with Joy's phone, and it wasn't in my SUV. It wasn't in the house. I couldn't find it. I thought, well, I made a decision. That's the kind of thing that frustrates me. And I was on the verge of getting real frustrated. And I said, I'm not going to let this frustrate me. God, you knew where Saul's donkeys were. You know where my phone is. I'm going to bed. And we'll deal with this thing in the morning. Well, the next day a call came from the far side of Dallas. A grandmother said, I believe I have pastor's phone here. And what had happened, her grandson picked it up off the table and was going to give it to grandmother because her phone was older than, obviously, than mine. And when she handed it, Rufus Wynot got off a plane from Romania and called his pastor, and she picks up the phone and says, who is this? Well, this is my pastor's. Oh, is this a pastor's phone? Oh, my Lord. Well, where does he pastor? Well, I can't call him because I've got his phone. He said, let me tell you what to do. You call the church office and they'll tell you what to do from there. She calls the church office. And she says, my grandson picked up pastor's phone. And she said, when I realized what this was all about, this woman had more perception than some supposedly very wise people I've dealt with in the last few months. She said, grandson, you don't touch the man of God. This is not our phone. We will not keep it. And I'm going to drive from Dallas over to the church office. And my phone was returned to the church office. She said, you don't touch the man of God. Well, I happen to believe that. If he is a man of God. If he is a man of God, you don't, you know. And so the phone came. But see, someone had a tender heart at a certain point. Amen. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. You mean, I love Jesus, but I've got a bad heart? Yeah. It's possible. An evil heart. Well, what's an evil heart? It's a heart of unbelief. It's a heart that does not believe the word, the promises of God as it ought or as it should. You can't blame the church for your hardness of heart. Oh, God, give us a tender heart. And then it goes on to say how we can get out of this. Consider Jesus Christ. Consider him. If I'm into something I shouldn't be into, the first thing I need to do is consider Jesus. Jesus, I'm into something I shouldn't be into. I'm thinking something I should not be thinking. I've read something I shouldn't be reading. I'm looking at something that I shouldn't be looking at. Jesus, help me out of this mess. I repent. Help me, Lord. Consider Jesus. And also remember Moses. Moses missed the promised land. Moses missed the promised land. Yet he was faithful in all his house. But there was that moment when he smote the rock. So really it comes down to, will you and I refuse to let our hearts be gospel hardened, careless about praise and worship, careless about going to church, careless about reading at least a chapter a day out of God's word. This is not legalism. This is just stuff, good stuff. Careful about our giving to God, tithing. He's just going to be your landlord throughout eternity. You're afraid of your landlord here on earth, honey. He's going to be our landlord throughout eternity. He's not a mortgage company. He's not a landlord. Well, he is, but you want to be on the right side of that one. All right. Keep on giving. Keep on loving. Well, I loved and I was let down. You can't quit. Keep on purposing to finish strong or live careless and crash. Don't be gospel hardened. I heard Brother Copeland give an illustration somewhere in the past, but there was a pilot who was known to be a pilot's pilot. I mean, he trained other pilots and he was a pilot's pilot. And he was flying a plane and he was in a storm. And the first time in his life he didn't follow his own instructions, he refused to believe the instruments. My instincts are more accurate than the instruments of the airplane. Well, for those that fly, they assure me that the instruments are far more accurate than our human instincts are. He followed his human instincts, which were false. He ignored what the instruments were saying was that he was headed for a crash and stuck that thing in the ground like a dart because he refused to believe the instruments. God's word is an instrument. And if God's word is saying, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up, danger, 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 best pull up. Pull up. Avoid danger. Oh my. Jesus. Well, let's go back over, get on the positive side of this thing. But see, here's the thing. It's possible. The word of God in Hebrews, New Testament, is warning us, don't do what they did in the Old Testament. It'll hurt you. Won't help you. It will hurt you. Now let's go back to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And we'll bring this hopefully to God's conclusion. Cast not away therefore. Oh, there's that word again. Your confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away your confidence. Well, I'm just tired of believing. Watch it. It's an inward faith assurance that everything's going to be all right. You know, there's been some times in pastoring, and so help me God, this last year, I hit some rough weather. Man, it was all I could do, the seatbelt hold. I knew what was right. I knew what God's word said, but my Lord have mercy. God, help me. But oh, thank God the confidence came back. You can't lose confidence. You can't let people make you lose confidence. You can't let circumstances make you lose confidence. Amen. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. Now, Mr. Strong brings this out. That's either a good reward or a bad reward. You cast your confidence. You're going to get a reward. I'm going to get a reward. But it's either going to be a good reward or it's not going to be a good reward. We're all going to be rewarded for the deeds we've done. Doesn't mean altogether heaven or hell, but you know, I'd hate to think I'd preached all these years and didn't have something up there. That's okay. It's okay. Amen. God's word teaches rewards. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense reward. For you have need of, that word, patience. That after you've done the will of God, after you have done, all I'm thinking about doing what God, no. After you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Here's another one of those frustrating verses if you'd take it that way, yet for a little while. Well, how long? How long, Pastor? Yet for a little while. And he that shall come will come. Yet a little while. A little while. Say it with me. A little while. A little while's worth waiting for the big prize. You've heard me tell the story years ago when I was frustrated about God not answering my prayer. And he said, well, I could answer your prayer right now, but if you'll give me a little time here, I want to bless 5 other people in the process. Now, do you want to be selfish and get your answer to prayer? Or do you want to give me some time and some slack to bless others? Now, what do I do now? The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, I'll tell you, God's rough on the drawbackers. Winners take all. Draw back, bad reward or not reward. If any man draw back, my soul. Now this is God talking. My soul shall have no pleasure. Dear God, have mercy. I want God to have pleasure in me. Don't you want God to have pleasure in you? It's not that he doesn't love you. And all of us as parents know times when we loved our children, but we didn't take pleasure in what they were doing right then. You parents, come on now. You know I'm telling you the truth. But the word of God said it in verse 39, and this is where we're going to end up. And if there's any shout in you, it's time to get ready. Are you ready? But we are not of them who draw back. Calvary Cathedral International, and those watching by streaming and hearing by radio, if we use this message, we are not of those that draw back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to draw back. Oh, we get real cocky. I'm not going back. Come on now. That means more than just singing a song or saying something. It means you don't go back. You don't go back to that bar. You don't go back to that den of evil. You don't go back to that gossip mill that you used to be a part of. You don't go back to peddling strife every time you... You don't go back to what you came out of. Don't go back. But of them that believe, we're believers, to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. We're not of those that draw back. No matter how difficult or challenging things may be, where's that job? Where's what somebody promised? Where is this? Last year, I almost let that roof get to me, but I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's God's house. It's God's house. We'd start on it tomorrow if it's me, but we're not going to the bank and borrow the money. And it will come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. It's coming. New roof cometh. We're not going to draw back. We're going to keep on winning souls and teaching and training and doing all the things that we do in this place. We're not of them who draw back. Not of them that draw back. But of them that believe. I'm a believer. I'm not a drawbacker. I'm a believer. I may stand here and the storms of life may just come against me with all fury, but I'm not going back. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I have seen it. I've seen my abundance of it. And I'm going to see it in greater manifestation. The best is yet to come. Stand to your feet and let's praise our God today. Hallelujah. Cast not away your confidence. I'm not going to be hard-hearted. You've heard me tell the story, but some little things I tell have good shelf value. Downtown has completely changed. There used to be a department store called Monning's downtown. I walked into Monning's one day and I was associate pastor, what used to be Faith Temple, getting my apprenticeship. Man, I was whistling, singing, and I heard a sour voice behind the counter say, "What you so happy about, young man?" And I said, "Well, I got to preach last night, and I saw some people come to Jesus, and I'm in the ministry, and God's been good to me." Man, I was on a high. I was just bouncing in the door. Yeah, he said, "Son, when you've been around as long as I've been around and seen what I've seen, you won't still be saying what you're saying." Now, what had happened? You're preaching ahead of me. He was a preacher that nobody wanted to hear. He had a sour attitude. He was one of these Bible scholars that was drier than West Texas drought. As Brother Alcorn, you say some people can dive in deeper and come out shallower than anybody I've ever seen in my life. He said, "People just don't want to hear deep teaching anymore." No, they don't want to hear you. I didn't say that. You know who I'm talking about. He's going to be with Jesus. Praise God. But no, here's the thing. You're in the ministry. Nobody wants to hear anything you've got to say, and you're mad about it, and you're reacting. And then you're trying to, Dr. Stanley said something several years ago. He said, "You know, when you hurt or hinder the faith of someone younger in the faith than you are, when you hurt somebody's faith, when you hinder them, it's one of the lowest sins that a believer can commit." We're not here to hurt people. If anything I've said this morning sounds that way, hey, forget that, throw it away. And I've thought about that statement. Man, if I can't encourage somebody, I don't want to discourage them. I want to tell them Jesus is Lord. God, there is a way. God will see you through. There is a rainbow. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Well, I'm through preaching, and I thank you for shouting so loud. I've told you the truth. By the grace of God, let's purpose in our heart. We're not going to be hard-hearted. No matter who does, who doesn't, what some church does, or something, we're not going to be hard-hearted. Hallelujah. I just so often nowadays say, you know, that's none of my business. I just pass on by. Praise God. Lift your hands. Let's praise God for His precious presence.